Harmac Holmes pre-game interview.
Time for Harmac Holmes, I think, to go downstairs because Patrick Dangerfield has arrived in his Rex Gorrell chariot and pulled up at GMHBA Stadium and burst down the race to be greeted by the waiting face of Jason Doherty, who's with Paddy right now.
Lucky for Pat. Thanks for joining us, Paddy. Chariot got you here, the Rex Gorrell chariot, so that's good. It would be probably remiss to say that you're going to miss today to play on a day like this.
Yeah, that's pretty safe to say. Sort of throughout the week and everything, sort of training as usual at the moment because I'm back running. But game day, you don't have those nerves and anxiety that you sort of normally experience, and you do miss that.
I saw you do the injury down here a few weeks ago, obviously, and it looked a bit innocuous. It didn't look too bad. You walked into the rooms and then obviously got the determination that was syndesmosis. So sort of moved pretty quickly from the bench to a couple of days later.
Yeah, it did. It was always a bit of a different injury with how it felt straight away, because I couldn't really turn, and I hadn't really experienced that before. Even with an ankle, you can normally restrap it, and you're limited, but you've got sort of strength there. And this was different to that, and then sort of we explored basically every avenue we could, after it had happened, and then we sort of came to the conclusion pretty quickly that it was going to be surgery that was the best course of action and the quickest way to return to play.
Patrick, thanks for joining us. Kinging up in the K-Rock box with Benny Cass, Mark Neild and the Ages, Pete Ryan. How many opinions did you seek out before you finally reached that final decision midweek following the injury?
Just a couple. Just a guy up in Sydney and then GY in Melbourne, who's obviously really well-renowned, and David Young. So he's done a really good job, and it's feeling good at the moment. So fingers crossed. I'm not too far away.
All right. You spoke earlier in the week, I think 5 days ago, you faced the media and you were hoping post-bye, unless you found some dirt on the medical staff. I think the phrase was that you used. Is that still the realistic option that it's Port Adelaide in round 13?
Yeah, definitely. It'll be that game or the week after, but all signs at the moment are pointing towards that. So, if it was a final or something, then definitely push and play next week, but in the situation that we're in with the way the team's playing, there's no reason to to do anything silly and to try and push it any harder that needs to be pushed. So at the moment it's really sort of getting back to running agility and building up the aerobic capacity, which is one of the tough things. Obviously when you do any sort of foot injury, it's something that you really are unable to do for quite some time.
Is there a mental aspect to it as well?
Sorry, what was that?
Is there a mental aspect to it as well?
I'm a head case at the best of times, Kingy, so not really.
Peter Ryan here. Look forward to seeing you back soon. What have you observed of the Cats in your time in the sidelines?
I think we've been building, Pete. I think we've played some really good footy in most games, apart from probably the Melbourne game where it got away from us late. We've been in every other game and played pretty well. So I think the challenge for us and the challenge for every team is just to build the consistency with that and to play our best footy against the best, which so far we're continually improving each week, and we want to make sure that we're peaking at the right time of the year.
For Harmac Holmes, we're speaking with injured Geelong star Patrick Dangerfield. He's Ben Castagnoli. You're on K-Rock Footy.
Patrick, do you watch the footy with a sort of process and structure eye, or is it more of a face-painted eye?
No, very much structure and process and how we're sort of playing, performing, how our mids are playing and performing, and sort of the connection with our forward line. So that's sort of my main focus. I can only sort of go down there at half time, obviously, but sort of nitpick that way, and anywhere I can sort of add a few bits and bobs, I will. It's different, obviously, when you're watching it from the stands, because you're unable to impact in any way. So I find I get far more nervous watching in that respect.
So what happened in the car on the way in? Was it just sort of some carburetor troubles, or did you... I need to ask you this too, because I know you're a MacGyver. You're capable of really doing anything. If the car does break down, are you able to get out and lift the hood and tinker, or do you just sort of get out, wave the hand, get a cab, and then ring someone and say, I need that car sorted?
I'm just looking at my watch now. Like, I'm not that late. It's not that bad. No, I'll blame my wife. She forgot a few things, and I was halfway through Aries Inlet and had to turn around. So I'll throw her under the bus for the reason
slightly late.
Paddy, Neildy, mate, I've got to get you back on a footy question.
Thanks, Neildy, appreciate that.
No worries. We just heard about your impact or your input on game day. What about during the week? Can you explain to the people that are listening? So you're an experienced player, clearly. Normally in the rehab group, you're sort of out to the side. Is it being different with you and still getting the input into the team?
Yes and no. I suppose the challenge with the reduction in soft cap, and with that has meant the reduction in staff, a lot of our rehab now is done quite early, and it generally overlaps with meetings because we just don't have the ability, and this is every team, to have more than a few staff spread across rehab and then warm up of our AFL side. So quite clearly the priority for us during the week is preparing our players to play. So we need to staff that and staff our physical performance staff there. So they come in early, they help us with rehab quite early, and it generally overlaps meetings. So it's been a little bit of a challenge to sort of always be able to sit in there at different stages. But I suppose for me it's been more some of the players on the peripheral and those that have been a bit inconsistent with their form and sort of working through with them throughout the weeks, where it's your, you know, your Quinton Arkles and players that are sort of playing similar positions to me.
Yeah, thanks for that, mate. Hey, that's an interesting one, the Narkle one. From about, you know, I suppose, mate, when you've been out, we've seen a different-looking midfield. For us, it appears as though there's probably the loads being spread a little bit more than what it was at the start of the year, and we're starting to see, in terms of, you know, your rank in the competition as a midfield group, really high over those 4 or 5 weeks. Has that been a conscious thing with you being out and perhaps not necessarily, or clearly not being able to rely on you, but also, you know, when the alarm goes, it's not necessarily throw Joel in, it's been a bit more spread. Is that something that's been done on purpose?
Not particularly. I think there's been the organic growth from players from within the side who have really improved. Like, I think Cam Guthrie quite clearly had a great year last year, but I think he's been better again this year. And whilst he may not have always had the possession output, Sammy Menegola really has a huge impact, particularly when we review games on the way that we play. And then you add into that Isaac Smith, who changes our dynamic as a wingman, and then the younger players we've got in Parfitt and obviously Quinton, and we've seen Jordan Clark play games throughout the year as well. So I think we've got a well-spread team at the moment. We're still sort of finding our feet with that sort of best ruck combination quite clearly. So Asava gets his chance again, and we need to him to compete in there well. And Blitz obviously changes our dynamic completely. He's a phenomenal player, and you know, we'd love to have three of them, one in every area of the ground. But that's most teams, I suppose, isn't it?
Paddy, you mentioned the footy department cuts. What impact has it had on a player, and are you concerned about, you know, going forward, whether it does have an impact on the standard of the competition?
The impact is that you just have less staff in order to look after your players, I suppose. So that's a challenge in itself, and that's why, you know, spoke about rehab and just how we now plan our rehab. It doesn't really happen at the same time as the rest of the team's sort of training. So, you know, once upon a time, you know, when the media were down to see us training, you'd see the rehab group on the side, and that's slightly changed because of that. Whether there's a relaxing in that spend next year and there's a bit more money put in towards it, it probably makes sense, but we'll have to wait and see with sort of where that all unfolds. But it certainly puts a lot of pressure on the staff that you have, because they're having to do a huge amount of hours, because they're all passionate and trying to give us the best opportunities to win and to rehab, to get back to playing. So, you know, we're incredibly lucky, as all clubs are, that we have very dedicated staff.
You spoke about the impact on mental health on coaches. Is that a genuine concern for you as a statesman of the game?
Well, I think mental health in general, in any high position of input, you need to have the support mechanisms in place. And no doubt it's, in my view, an unenviable position at times. But at the same time, there's plenty of players and coaches that, you know, want to head in that direction. So, you know, I think people are aware of it, but it's not until you sit in the hot seat that you realise, you know, just how hot that furnace can be. So we've just got to always remain, I think, vigilant as a as a competition, that it's a high pressure environment, and I suppose when there's calls for sackings and those things, we're still talking about humans and people, and you know, Neil could speak to that as well as anyone. It's a bloody tough environment in order to be successful at, and the pressure certainly comes.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Cam Guthrie before. What, from your perspectives, helped him elevate his game to the level it's at now?
I think it's just a continuation in the form he's had last year, and almost an attitude of he's not happy from week to week. He wants and always has different things he wants to improve on. So whether it's personal pride or clean take inside, you know, he's really quite the complete player at the moment, and it's a joy to watch.
Paddy, Pete touched on the mental health side of things, but in terms of your role as AFLPA president, what's a couple of big issues that I suppose you're in consultation with your CEO, but also with the AFL executive about that, I suppose, are front of mind at the moment for the competition?
Yeah, it's players' mental health as much as anything. That's been widely regarded over the last few years as clearly the most important thing on the player's mind, and a lot sort of links into that. It's the balance of players' playoff contracts and players coming out of contracts and player transition, finishing up footy, and what life looks after once AFL is finished, which will happen to us all at some point. So it's making sure that we continue to provide really good service for our players in that space, so as much as humanly possible, we don't have those surprises that happen where, you know, players can go through some pretty tough times, which, you know, will always be the case, but we're trying to, you know, restrict and have as few of those as possible.
Are you a better kicker of the torp than Zach Tui, Danger?
I've listened to commentary from your commentary box before, so I'm not going to comment on my kicking. I've got more of a kick than anyone, I can tell you. In answer to your question, yes, though.
Oh, well, we can't wait to see that launch when you come back, Paddy. Just roll yourself down into the defensive goal square after a behind's called and then just let loose down the middle of Adelaide Oval. That'd be magnificent.
I won't be spending too much time in that area of the ground, boys. More of a... You've got to kick a score to win, so I'll help and contribute in that way.
Absolutely. Paddy, I know you would like to be part of your team's pre-match meeting, so we will let you go. We really do appreciate your time. Miss seeing you out there. It feels like we haven't, well, barely seen you at all in season 2021, and we can't wait to get a clear run at it in the second half of the season and hopefully rolling into September as well. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, boys. Pleasure to chat to you this morning.
Patrick Dangerfield joining us on the line.
Sarvo.
Yes, you are having a good day. Oh, and just very quickly, the Whammos playing St Mary's tomorrow. I see M Dangerfield among the goal kickers last week.
They are. It's a hard game to watch because there's two teams I despise. I'm not sure there is two teams I despise more than St Mary's and Geelong Amateurs, but I suppose giving my wife plays for some of it. No, Pete, come on.
That's fair enough, Paddy. Rip
they
into
get
them.
Everything.
That's fair enough, mate. Get into
facilities,
them.
Facilities, you name it, whereas that poor old Anglesey, labouring down the coast. Anyway.
They're a big one today, Anglesey, too. They've got Torquay in a big game.
Yeah, well, speaking of grudge matches.
Yes, it's going to be a cracker. Good to talk, Paddy. Enjoy your day.
Good on you guys. Cheers.
Good to talk. Patrick Dangerfield joining us here for Harmac Homes. Now, Harmac Homes' latest double-story design, the Monarch 1227, including double glazing, floor coverings and driveway for only $294,000. Limited to the first 10 Geelong builds only. Terms and conditions apply.
The Harmac Homes pre-game interview.